Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level, and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. And I have to take a breath because I always sort of want to jump right in and tell you how excited I am that you're here and all of that. And so I'm trying to learn to slow down a little bit. But truly, I'm honored that each of you are here listening and being curious about how to do money, so to speak, in a new way, and curious about what it means to add soul into your day-to-day experiences, and particularly into your money. If this conversation creates a level of interest for you, I'm going to invite you to jump over to my Soul Abundance page on Facebook. There's a lot more information over there, and you can learn a lot more, as well as connect with me if you have any questions. All right. Okay, so let's get into the conversation for today. And I'm going to start by saying that 2020 continues to keep giving in the way, right, that it's been giving all year. We've really had to find a new way to do money. The coronavirus seems to have impacted every single aspect of our day-to-day life, our economy, and really how we feel, right? I mean, it's really brought a lot of unknowns, which creates a lot of feeling of not safety. And when there's not safety present, and there must be a better way to say that, but when we're not feeling safe, there's a lot of unknowns, and we can experience trauma and grief for how things were. And, you know, there's a lot of trauma and grief coming. I mean, we could spend the next hour just talking about the trauma and grief that's being experienced by all kinds of people in this country. And how do we handle that? How do we handle the guilt and the sadness that comes along with that, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And at the same time, we have to live our lives, right? We have to know how to come back and live on a day-to-day basis. And really the way to do that, right, is through changing our own internals, which is going to change how things are appearing in our external world and then our world at large. So I have a very special guest here today who really understands trauma and grief at a visceral level. And not just that, but how to come back and how to integrate that experience into your new way of living. So I want to welcome you, Allison. This is Allison Pena. So welcome.
Thank you.
So delighted to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So let me tell the world a little bit about you, right? You are an author, you're a speaker, you're a consultant, you're New York City based. And very pertinent to this conversation, you were your husband's caregiver, primary caregiver, throughout his entire journey with pancreatic cancer until he lost that battle in 2016. And you have gone on in a very courageous way to really reinvent who you are as a widow, to re-engage, to rebuild, to not just block things out, but to take that experience and learn how to bring it into every day. So again, so many wonderful ways that we could take our conversation today.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, yes. And all right. So the other piece that I want to add to the introduction, we talked about this. One of the ways that I really like to get to know people and to get to know myself is through the lens of a paradigm called soul language. And soul language paradigm says there's 107 different languages, and we brought different sections of these languages into our experience. We have three languages that are our personal soul, and then we also have other energies, language energies that support us in our relationships. So I would love to share those, yours, with the audience.
Right? Glad to.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And we can, that be really maybe a good place to start the conversation too, because your personal languages are, let's see if I can remember here, observer, mm-hmm. which is all about seeing patterns, really being, seeing deeply, right? Nurturer, which is all about really understanding, again, that visceral level, the giving, the supporting of others, but also then being able to receive. Yep. And then connoisseur, which is all about self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, when you think about those, and of course, then there's languages that support your business, there's languages that support money, but let's just stay with those personal languages, because I think they really speak to you as a person and who yes. you are stepping into this journey.
Absolutely. So it is in my nature, and this speaks to observer, to look at myself and to really deconstruct what's working and what's not working and how to fix it. And so that's really what happened after I became a widow. My husband literally died in my arms at home in 2016 after an 11-month battle with pancreatic cancer. And I was with him 25 years. Yeah. So close to half my life. And suddenly the world that I had imagined was gone. Dusted on his last four breaths, gone. And I was not who I had been. My future was not what it had been. And what I discovered was that there were not resources for me where I was right there in the raw. Yeah. There was lots of, here's how you manage the finances. Here's how you declutter your home. But how do you deal with the wasteland of grief? And I have a definition of loss or transition that is a little unusual. So it's the death of a future imagined or co-created that will now never come to pass. Mm.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I came out of this, I was just swamped in grief. The first year was swamped in grief. The second year was all rage. It was crazy. And none of it did I have any control over. And all of it impacted my life. My husband was an artist who left me 1,000 paintings. So if you imagine trying to, first of all, there was the danger that his legacy would swamp mine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I had to really look at who I was after his death and what I wanted that to be, because I needed to take care of his work, but I needed it not to stop my life.
Right.
And so through the course of my own coming back to resilient, coming back to resourceful, there was this moment, because I kept being treated like I was broken and I might never come back. And honestly, I felt that way too.
Yeah. Yeah.
My energy was completely unreliable. I couldn't remember an appointment within 2 seconds. I had forgotten it. And I had the attention span of a fruit fly. So what that meant, I was a consultant who couldn't deal with people. So I couldn't reach out. I couldn't network. I couldn't get new clients. I could not even serve the ones I had. I also had done proofreading, medical editing, but I couldn't remember a detail from 1 second to the next, much less where something appeared in a document and 30 pages later. Mm-hmm. So suddenly, from the perspective of making money, I couldn't do anything I was qualified for. And there was this turning point moment where I decided I was not broken. No matter what the world said, no matter how I felt, no matter that I burst into tears at the drop of a hat, I wasn't broken.
And what an important decision to make, right? You know, those changes have to come internally first, don't they? Right? And when you're in that trauma hole of grief and rage and attention fly of attention span of a fruit fly, it's hard to get to that internal space. So what do you think, was it in quotes just time that allowed you to get to that point of making the decision of not being broken? Or what do you think enabled you to be able to do that?
Yeah, part of it was the observer that I was. I looked at the life I was living. So after anything that happens, we contract. And I actually parallel what's going on right now. All of the things that are hitting us right now are very like that first year. Yeah. People are just contracted. We're really getting hit from all sides with one thing and then another thing and then another thing. And how do you come back from that? And so it was really, I looked at the life I had, which had gotten smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And, you know, I live in New York. My husband and I have an apartment here. So that was two salaries to one. He also had a studio, which took me a year to close out. So there was that rent. So I needed to start pushing out on the life that I had. I needed to want more and I needed to reach for more, but my capacity was really small, small. And so as an observer, I looked at my life and I started looking at the places where I could begin to push out against my own fear. Yeah.
So what were some of the first ways that you were able to do that for yourself?
So very small way. At the beginning, I could not remember to eat. I had about 5 seconds before when I thought, oh, I'm hungry. 5 seconds to get to the kitchen before I forgot again. Mm-hmm. It was great for weight loss, but it was not very good for health.
Right, exactly. Not exactly the medically approved way to release weight. Yes?
No. And so I wound up putting baskets of power bars and stuff around the house so that I would have a visual memory as well. So that was like one of my nets. The first thing that I was able to do for work, so I had no energy and no memory, was I had another friend who was a widow and she had a Halloween pop-up shop.
Fun.
Yeah. And I knew that I could take a hanger and put it on a bar. I could do that. And so by doing that, I began to increase my capacity, just push out a little bit. Because when you're really contracted, you actually can't go back to where you were right away.
Right. Well, it's almost as if that doesn't even exist anymore, right?
It doesn't.
I mean, you know, it's you contract, and the way that I envision it is it's almost like you have a shell around you now, right? So you got to get through the shell first. And then what was there before is just sort of empty space. There's nothing defining where you're going to go back into.
Well, exactly. And that's the piece that I call re-engage. So with the observer, it was look into my life and see what would make the biggest difference. So I needed to start making money. I needed to regain confidence. I needed to improve my feeling that I could do things again. And I had to just start building back up. And be nurturer side, be at peace that it wasn't where I was.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now, not beat myself up.
Yes, which is kind of sewer, right? You know, that being able to look and say, here I am and in this breath, I'm okay. right?
Yes.
And you mentioned a word just a little bit ago that I want to highlight, because you said that the bars and the baskets became one of your nets. Can you explain what you mean by net?
Yeah, so a net is something where, so I needed to look very clearly at where I was, the foundation of where I was. It wasn't where I wanted to be, but I couldn't say I was where I wasn't.
Right.
You know, yeah. I didn't have the foundation for that. So a net is was my looking around and seeing where I was dropping things.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So where was I not able to do things? I had for a while a little note by my door. It said, and usually it happened when there was a breakdown. Something happened that didn't work. So I had a little note by my door for a while, and it said keys, wallet, shoes, coat. Because one day I went two blocks in my slippers. And the only reason I realized that was because my heels started getting cold. So it was something didn't work. And then I developed a net to catch me. Another time I couldn't go home. I was so distraught. And my husband's paintings are everywhere. Yeah. I couldn't go home. And so I just took myself out to dinner. I went to the movie. Eventually I could go home. But then I realized I needed people that I could just go to and sit on their couch and have them give me tea and go about their lives, but that would hold me when I was not good. And I used it once, but there were five people who said, if you call me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can come.
So important to have those people in our lives, isn't it?
It really is.
You don't realize it until you start going through. I mean, intellectually, I think we could probably say, oh, I need friends. I need people I can lean on. But it's when we get into these places where we're contracting, where we need that structure in place. And if we can put that structure in place before the grief and trauma hits, all the better. But most of us don't take the time necessarily to do that, right? Because you're bipping along, you got your life, and there's plenty of things to do, right? Money to make, bills to pay, and we just forget that some things are precarious. And 2020 again has shown us how precarious things really can be.
Just one more thing on the nets. It was really important every time I observed a gap in my own security, safety, I built the net. Because if I let too much time pass, it wasn't going to happen.
Right. That the need for it, right? The push for it is going to evaporate, right?
Yes,
and then all of a sudden, you're back in your slippers two blocks down the street and feeling cold, right?
Yeah. And life happens. So you get swept up and then you forget.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I really am intrigued by this idea of nets. And the thing that we're going to need to go to break here in just a moment. But what I really want to talk about when we come back, Allison, is, you know, the way that you're relaying this is very matter of fact. And I know that, of course, in the moment, it wasn't necessarily a matter of fact. But at the same time, it really shows a love for yourself. Right? Instead of beating yourself up about the fact that you went out in your slippers, what did you do? You created a net. And that's a lot of self-love that we don't always have for ourselves. So that's where I want us to pick back up when we come back, okay?
Awesome.
Oh, fantastic. All right. So you are listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance. I am Jennifer Bloom here with my guest, Allison Pena. And we will be back in just a few moments.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year. We got it. Show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Hello, I'm Carrie Kadambi, and this is your Spirited Exchange Moment. Do you want to be the best you can be? Do you want to live your dream life? Anything is possible when you choose to consciously evolve. Begin by noticing your reaction to things in your everyday life. When a reaction is uncomfortable, this is a sign that there's an inner root cause that has triggered you and is calling out to be healed. Take action to transform and heal those limiting beliefs or trauma experiences that no longer serve you. Take time daily to recognize your reactions and then set out to heal and release them using one of many somatic healing modalities available. How will you choose to evolve today? Join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance. I am Jennifer Bloom, and I'm here with my guest, Allison Pena. And before we dive back into the conversation, we know where we're going, but I'd really love for you to share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and learn more about what you're doing in the world.
Yeah, so I call myself Allison Pena, aka Bad Widow, and my website is badwidow.com. And you can pretty much find everything there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And then you also have a course coming up. Can you share a little bit about that?
I do. I have a course that's called Advance Through Transition. I think we can all agree we're like swamped in transitions right at the moment. A 6-week journey to re-engage, reinvent, and rebuild during difficult times. It's all about the stuff we've been talking about here.
Oh, yeah, it's super timely, timely, you know, and I think that it's important for people to know, look, we're going through periods of trauma and grief and the emotions that you spoke about at the very beginning. You know, I think, you know, we get really confused. Well, still, even knowing as much as I do, right? It's like, where is that anger coming from, right? Why am I spewing something about the postman when I never would before, not to him, but just like, you know, and it's like, okay, now wait a minute. It's everything is so elevated. You're just, everything's right on the surface. And so those emotions just tend to come forth. But it's not very practical and it doesn't feel very good, right? So, and where can people learn about your course at badwidow.com?
Badwidow.com. Yep.
Fantastic. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Wonderful. Okay. So before the break, we were talking about the nets that you were building for yourself. And the observation that I made is that, you know, as you're relaying all of this, I don't hear any sort of condemnation in your voice. I don't hear any apology in your voice about the things that you were going through. It was just, you know, here it is. And there's a level of acceptance that probably took some time to get to. I don't want to paint over things, but at the same time, you're not apologizing for them. And there's that, you know, that takes a level of self-love, right? That hopefully, you know, think about connoisseur, right? Again, that language that you have, it takes a lot of self-love to be able to do that. Can you share any more about how you are able to be in that place of love for yourself when you're, you know, when you've got the attention of a fruit fly? It can get frustrating, right?
It can get frustrating. Yeah. I mean, the thing that I hear, which I absolutely disagree with, is just push on through.
Yeah.
I think that's the worst advice ever. Mm-hmm. You know, tough it out, push on through. This is very much national culture, but if your tank is empty, you can't. You cannot push on through. And so I realized that, and I developed a net for that too, because I love designing stuff that works to hold the life that I want. And so what I realized was that there were times that I could reach out to people. There were times I had lots of energy, then I would go really fast and do a lot. There were times I would have no energy, and then I would do just a little bit. And I wouldn't shame myself about any of it. Beautiful. As long as I could check in with me and see where I was that day, that moment, and then interact with that. So whatever was my internal truth, there's always plenty to be done. You can do the dishes, or you can make sales calls, or you can write something, or you can, you know, go visit a friend. There are always things that make up a life to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so my net for this was I wrote down all the aspects of my life, all the activities, all the actions, all the connections. And when I'm tapped out, I look at my list and I pick what matches my energy level, my capacity that day. And then I celebrate whatever that is, because I can get that done.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So it's such an honoring of yourself, right?
Absolutely.
Like, okay, here's the whole menu, right? Of things that I can do, should do, want to do, need to do. And, but then I get to check in with myself and say, okay, what is it that I can do? And then when that gets done, there's a celebration for it, rather than saying, well, but what I should have done is X, Y, Z, mm-hmm. right? And that internal honoring is one of the things that I think is so important. And, you know, you talk about sort of this national culture of push, go, pain. I call it pushing the pain button, right? That's how we're supposed to motivate ourselves. And I'm actually in the third segment here, gonna talk about that in a little bit more detail. And I just, it angers me to feel that, because we are, when we flood ourselves with self-acceptance and love, it's so much more effective. We're so much more, we're allowing our whole being to come in. Because when we push through and we don't listen, it's like we're chopping ourselves in little bits, and we can't come at it as our fully authentic self.
Exactly. And I mean, there's a reason for the saying time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
When you're having fun, it just clicks along. It's amazing. And things get done fast.
Yeah.
And there are also times when it's time to do internal work, and there's time to do external work.
Yeah.
And that requires checking in with yourself. So sort of the three things that I do with people that I work with is, after a transition or a loss, I help them to re-engage. Mm-hmm. That's part of what I've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, because you're no longer the person you were before the loss, you have to figure out who you are, because maybe priorities have changed. Yeah. Sometimes what happens is, my husband was sick with pancreatic cancer for 11 months. I'll tell you, it sorted out what was important really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you say, what would you do if tomorrow was your last day? In those last 11 months, there was going to be a day that was our last day together, and it was coming fast. And it utterly changed my level of fearlessness.
Interesting.
right? So, because
yeah. In what ways?
Well, because if tomorrow was really going to be his last day and our last day together, then why was I not doing the things that I longed to do that I was scared of? Mm. What was I waiting for?
Yeah.
And there's something about facing your mortality or somebody else's mortality in that way that brings that home really fast. So the second piece is to reinvent yourself. Who are you now? Are there realizations that you've come to after the loss, after the transition, that might reshape your life? Right now, all our lives are reshaped.
Right, right.
Record unemployment, COVID-19, social distancing, systemic racism, social justice, climate change.
Climate change, right, yep. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I'm having trouble even listing all the things that are hitting everyone right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to really look at, okay, now that I've come through this, or now that I'm in the midst of this, let me really look, not assume, but really look at what's important to me. Mm-hmm. Because it may reshape my life.
Absolutely. And it really puts a nod to what we were talking about before, which is the previous life is gone. It's
yes.
just, it's gone. So who do I want to be today? Who do I want to be now? And how do I bring in some of that fearlessness, right, that you were speaking about? How can I bring that into the yep. picture as well? Yes?
Exactly. Exactly. And then the third thing is, in the face of a trauma, so there might be people who are, what happens a lot in our culture is people get shamed for circumstances outside their control, including actually aging.
Oh, which, that's a whole other conversation. That
whole other conversation.
We could really have. Absolutely. Right.
Right. But considering that we're all right. doing that.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
a problem. That's a problem.
And as you know, it's a good problem to have, because we don't always gift the gifts, right?
Yeah, no, it's an awesome problem to have. But the shaming is
right.
an issue.
Yes, it is.
That we shame people for, oh, you lost your job. Oh, you, whatever. And so the third piece is about rebuilding. We exist in networks. We think of them only in terms of business. Are you getting enough business referrals? In fact, we exist in a web of networks in all aspects of our lives. Do you have someone to go have lunch with? Do you have someone who likes to exercise in the way that you like to exercise? Do you have friends to meditate with? Do you have a book group? Do you have,
yeah.
and do you have business networks? So part of reinventing yourself and figuring out what you want is to have networks that support the life that you desire. And we don't think of networks that way.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to put that emphasis on the life that we desire, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the things that I teach is, okay, you're here, and you kind of think about yourself on a center dot. And then when you go out to that, put a ring around the next, like, okay, what's my next leap? And then, yep. and then there's another ring outside that. What's even beyond that? So if you can, you know, taking this idea of building networks, what a fantastic way of supporting yourself through mm-hmm. through those different different expansion rings that you really would like to have, and giving yourself permission to say, what do I want? Not what does society say a 51-year-old woman should want or do, right? But
yep.
what is it that I want?
Yeah, exactly. And if you are really thinking in that way, then you can take a look at your network as it exists now and see where you have gaps. So this is back to nets. Where do you have gaps in support in the areas that you want support in? Not what everybody says. What do you say? And then once you know that, then you can build out. And you can do it for the present and for the future. So for example, if you know you're going to want to scale your business and you're going to need funding, are you putting someone in your network right now who'll be able to provide that easily? Mm. Because ultimately, we can create networks that support us wholly for everything we desire. And one of the magical things that I discovered is that if you ask for what you want with clarity, such clarity that the other person can't get it wrong, and they can deliver without too much of a stretch for themselves, they will do it about 80% of the time. Hmm.
So can you give me an example of what a clear, a really clear ask would be?
Well, I'll give you a funny example.
Sure.
The hardest thing was to open to love again. But I knew I did not want to live alone. I'm about halfway through my life. And so I went on Bumble and I decided that I was entitled to a second epic love affair in my life.
Yeah.
And so I wrote my profile description in Bumble to describe clearly exactly who I was, so that the people who wanted who I was would find me.
Beautiful.
And then I looked at the results. If I wasn't getting the kind of people I wanted, I changed the profile.
Mm-hmm.
And the epic love affair piece was really important, because if you want something really big, it has to be big enough to get you through the fear. Fear, grief, anger. Has to be big. It has to be that big, or you're not going to make it. Because it was rough. I mean, it felt like the biggest betrayal of my husband to want to love and be loved again. But I was also unwilling to go without it. So I had to make the end goal big enough that I would make my way through it.
Just finding somebody to hang out with wasn't enough. It was that deep desire of that epic love story.
Exactly. But it started where I could start. It started with, these are the kinds of things I like to do, and I'm looking for men who want to do them with me. Because that's all I could do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It took 6 months, approximately 6 months, before I could be kissed without having a panic attack.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this was not an easy passage, but I had to make the end goal worth it. And I think that's true for anything, especially the stuff we're scared of. What do you really want with all your heart?
Right.
And how big do you have to make it to be willing to go through what you're going to have to go through to get there?
Mm-hmm. Which is one of the reasons why I love adding soul to everything, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you ask those big questions of your soul, you get really big answers, right? It isn't just, you know, in terms of the money world, it isn't, I want X amount of dollars in the bank. I mean, that's fine. I have no problem with somebody having a goal like that. But when you ask your soul what it wants, you know, that's when you get the, I want to build the foundation for XYZ. I want to live in another country and learn another culture. I want to feel like every experience is the most sumptuous experience I've ever had, right? That's the soul talking. And those are goals where you're willing to do what it takes, right? To
yes.
be able to move through. And I would say that an epic love affair is a desire of the soul.
Yeah. Soul. And my money. So my big money goal is, since I was 6 years old, I have wanted to be a multimillionaire philanthropist.
Love it.
And I'm not the multimillionaire part, mm-hmm. but I've been a philanthropist all my life.
Mm.
Giving time and money, mm-hmm. because that's what a philanthropist is.
Right. Right.
And I'll get there.
Yes, you will.
You
will. And one of your money languages is troubadour. So the more you talk about it, the more you are literally using that vibration to bring it into form. Oh my goodness, Allison, I could talk so much longer with you. It's fantastic. So we've got just a few seconds left. What's the one thing you want people to walk away from this conversation remembering?
The the skills that I teach, the strategies that I teach to re-engage, reinvent, and rebuild their life skills. So they're skills that you can take anywhere. And I have a giveaway, which will, I think, be in the show notes.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is called Building Nets You Don't Have to Mend. 5 simple steps to assess breakdowns, reframe priorities, and leverage resources. I would really love for you to go and grab that.
Please, I'm going to encourage everyone, because as you say, it's a life skill. And I don't know that we have to do much convincing at this point. After everything you've shared and what we all know about 2020, right? It's going to require a lot of re-engaging, reinventing, and rebuilding. So thank you for that gift. I'm deeply appreciative and really going to encourage all the listeners to go ahead and take advantage of that, because you never know where it's going to show up. Well, Allison, thank you so much for the gift of your time and your wisdom today. I'm just delighted that you were here to speak with us. So thank you so much.
Thank you so very much for having me on.
Absolutely. All right. So everyone, please visit her at Bad Widow. And we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to dive more into what Allison was speaking about in terms of sort of that pushing through mentality and sort of what the antidote, my antidote to that is. So we will be back in just a few minutes.
Living a richly abundant life sound too good to be true? Listen in to Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Embrace a vibrant future of breaking free financially and creating a richly abundant life filled with prosperity and growth. To learn more about Julie Steelman and Richly Abundant Women, visit www.juliesteelman.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Soul Wisdom Abundance. I'm Jennifer Bloom, your host, and we've just been enjoying a really fascinating conversation with Allison Penna and talking about grief and trauma and how you, in her words, re-engage, reinvent, and rebuild. And there's so much going on in the world around us. There's a lot of trauma, a lot of grief poking up. And of course, money is another area where we can have a lot of trauma and grief, whether that trauma and grief is present moment or even if the trauma happened years ago, or the grief around money happened years ago, or whether the trauma and grief is that things are changing and you're not sure what your bank account is going to look like, or your revenue, the way that money is coming in through you or in through your family is changing because of the way that the pandemic has impacted us, or, well, any number of things, right, can create that pain and trauma around money. And I'm so glad that Allison brought up this point about how our culture is all about just pushing through, right? Don't deal with the emotions, don't deal with anything else, just keep moving. And we've really internalized that as a culture, so that, you know, it isn't just society telling you to move on, right? I mean, when there's a death in the family, there's people around all the time at the beginning, right? And then, you know, you get 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks in, and everybody else goes back to their regular lives and sort of expect you to as well. Or if you have something happen, like if you lose your job, or if the market tanks and the stocks crash and you were expecting to retire in the next couple of years, right? Money all of a sudden is not there, and you're continuing to experience the grief and the trauma, but the world around you is sort of saying, move on, get over it. And we internalize that, and we do something which I've started recently calling pushing the pain button, right? We say, if we need to do something different, in order to motivate ourselves, we push that pain button, like, you're not doing enough. You should be stronger than this. This shouldn't bother you. You should focus on what's good, not what's bad. No pain, no gain. Right? There's all of these different conversations we have within ourselves that is about pushing the pain button. And I use the word motivation very carefully and very and on purpose, because motivation is really about pushing ourselves forward, finding a way to motivate, to push forward with what we want. On the flip side of motivation is inspiration. Inspiration is using something to pull yourself forward, right? To let yourself literally be drawn forward towards something. And it's so much easier when you've got something pulling you forward. There's a lot less effort. There's a lot more ease. And in general, there's a lot more joy. But instead, what we do, right? We push the pain button, motivation, do, action, action, action. And this is really limiting. It isn't even just that it hurts, because it hurts when you talk negatively to yourself, right? When we're using that kind of language, there's your body really senses it as a danger zone, and things in your body shut down and contract, right? Allison, at the beginning of the conversation, talking about grief and trauma as contracting, but we are providing these small little traumas within ourselves all the time when we use that pain button. So we shut down. Now, if you think about in the area of money, what you're doing when you're pushing this pain button, usually the words we use are, I need more. There's not enough. How am I ever going to retire? How am I ever going to find the job that I love? How am I ever going to live the lifestyle I want if this is what my money looks like, right? So there's this constant pushing, this constant yelling at ourselves, this constant putting ourselves down when we push the pain button around money. Now, when we're creating those little traumas around money, what are we telling the universe? When we are in that space of trauma and that space of not enough, that's what we are vibrating. That's our frequency. That's our communication to the universe. That's our communication out to the other part of our money relation, all the other aspects of our money relationship, right? We've got the money, we've got the divine, we've got us. And we're here at the head of the table, leading our relationship, saying, it's not enough, it's not enough, it's not enough. But because we live in an attraction-based universe, instead of when we're out there saying not enough, not enough, instead of being gifted with what we want, we are gifted with more not enough. So pushing that pain button ends up spiraling us in the wrong direction. We end up creating more of what we don't have, right? So the alternative to pushing that pain button, the alternative to the pushing forward is what I've been calling the love button. And maybe it needs a new name. We'll see how that evolves over the next couple of months. But what the love button is all about is about being aware of where we are in a really kind, loving manner. It's not about making excuses. It's not about saying, you know, there, little girl, little boy, you're okay, don't worry about it. Instead, pushing that love button is allowing yourself to stop to reconnect with your divinity. To say, okay, what's going on around me is all it is a symptom of being disconnected. If there's not enough in my bank account, all that means is I've been disconnected. So instead of enhancing that disconnection by pushing the pain button and yelling at myself, I'm going to push the love button. I'm going to push the reconnect button. I'm going to push the connect with the divine again button. And when I do that, I now have access to a tremendous number of resources that I could never have had at my disposal if I was pushing the pain button, right? Because when we push the pain button, we're putting the blinders on and we're saying, you do it, you human, you do this. And when we push the love button, we're saying, I am whole and complete. I have all of the resources of source. I have access to every single unlimited resource that's out there. Okay. So my invitation to you is to maybe do a little bit of journaling, to do a little bit of thinking about what you do when you get into a place of grief or trauma, and allow yourself to just notice, am I pushing the pain button or am I pushing the love button? And if you are in the habit of pushing the pain button, I'm going to invite you to stop and reconnect, connect to your soul in whatever way feels right to you. And you can, if you know your soul languages, connecting with your personal soul language team or your money language team is going to be able to bring you a lot of information. And when you have that information, now you are able to step into that rebuilding phase, that reinventing phase that Allison was speaking about, with a lot more tools and resources. Okay. And if you want some help doing this, there's a lot of ways that I can help you. Come on over to my Soul Abundance page on Facebook. A lot of ideas there. Come to the website, take the money relationship quiz, or I have a lot of different ways that I can support you individually. All right, so I'm going to invite you to do that. Okay, everyone, this has been a fantastic conversation. Again, please visit Allison Pena at badwidow.com. Visit me at my website at jenniferbloom.com if you want to continue the conversation. And this is, you can continue to listen to the different podcasts. I'm here the first and third Friday of every month. And next episode is going to be very fun. I'm going to be talking to Barry Tesler all about a body-centered approach to money, which is going to be a fascinating conversation. So I invite you to tune in then. And until then, I wish each and every one of you prosperous blessings. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.